Today we continue our study in Ephesians 4. Last time we were in the fourth chapter there, the fifth verse, where he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we were talking about the one faith that it speaks of, this one message of salvation, this gospel that saves, and that is basic to Christian faith. And that message is about the Lord Jesus himself. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture, and he was seen. And this message concerning the person and work of Christ, that he on the cross died for our sins, and that when he died, he paid completely for all our sins. And if that is enough, that it's not our works, it's not our church membership, it's not our trying to be good, it's not keeping the Ten Commandments, it's not even our faith that saves. Some people think in terms of, well, if I have a certain kind of faith or a certain emotional experience or something like that. And Paul says, no, it's Christ who saves. Christ is the Savior of sinners. And it's our dependence upon him, it's our trust in him that saves. So very important that we be clear on the facts of the gospel, that we be clear on how people are made right with God, how they are justified, how they are saved. And we're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, he says in Ephesians 2:8-9. I hope you're saved today. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. I've been a Christian for a number of years now, and I just thank God for that day when I heard the gospel, and I heard that it wasn't my church membership, and I heard that it wasn't my trying to keep the law, but that I could be saved because Christ on the cross paid for all my sin. And I trusted him that afternoon, and I remember with joy still that day, and I remember the place where as a sinner, a lost sinner, I turned to him and I said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I want you to save me and I want to follow you. I hope you can say that today. Now, it goes on to speak of one baptism. And the Christian church does emphasize baptism. You might say, well, why? If a person is saved through faith, and this is an inward thing, this is between him and God alone, why is anything else suggested? What's the purpose of baptism? Why do it at all? Well, we can say, first of all, Christians baptize because Jesus said to do it. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we baptize simply because we're following him, we're obeying him, and he said, do it. And if there were no other reason, we would do it. If there were no significance to it, if it seemed to have no function, if Jesus said to do it, we would do it. But of course, there is meaning and there is purpose in connection with baptism. Baptism is not into the church. People are not baptized into the name of a certain church. Paul says we're baptized into Christ. And Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are baptized as a proclamation of our faith in the Lord Jesus, as our acceptance of the Lord, of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and not as an indication we wish to join a particular church. This is a distortion of the truth of baptism. Baptism pictures a burial. Romans 6 brings this up. You were buried with Christ in baptism. The baptism pictures a burial. You're acting out what actually transpired through your faith. Through your faith, you accepted the Lord Jesus. Through your faith, you are linked with him. through your faith, his death becomes your death, and his burial, your burial, and his life is now your life. And so he tells us, let us walk in newness of life. And we are linked to him. He is our Savior. Baptism pictures that. When a person is baptized, as in New Testament days, he goes down into the water. It says of Jesus, when he was baptized in the River Jordan, he came up out of the water. Baptism was by immersion. People were put under. Even as today when we bury people, and I was at a funeral not too long ago, and there was a hole 6 feet deep into the earth, and that casket was lowered into the earth. 6 feet, buried, dirt covered it up. And when a person goes into the waters of baptism, he's put beneath the water. The water covers him. There's a second there when he isn't seen. Nothing but water. And he pictures the fact, I have died with Christ. I'm buried with Christ. He comes up out of the water and he pictures the fact, now I'm going to live a new life for Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. So this is the truth that is represented. And the baptism itself is a statement of faith. It's a public proclamation that I have accepted the Lord Jesus and I am going to follow him. So it is important. We don't want to belittle it. Even as when we think of a marriage, now we may say, well, the important thing about a marriage is that you, in your hearts, receive one another. Yes, that is important, of course, and basic. There's no use having a ceremony if you haven't before, in your hearts, determined to take this step and been committed to one another. But we all say the external ceremony is important. It's witnessed. It brings this commitment, this quiet, secret commitment, out in the open where it should be. Because marriage is honorable and it should be open, it should be public. And your Christian faith should also be open and public. You should not be ashamed to confess Jesus as Lord. And as you are baptized, this is what you're doing. You're saying to people, I have accepted the Lord Jesus and I want to follow him. He is my Lord. So that baptism is important, but it does not save. Paul makes a very strong distinction between the gospel, which saves, and baptism. And in 1 Corinthians, he stresses this. He says that the Lord didn't send him. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So he distinguishes between the gospel and baptism. And he goes on to say, yes, baptism is important, of course, but that wasn't his primary purpose, his primary burden was not simply to go around preaching baptism, but the gospel which saves. And baptism then is a statement, just a public proclamation, I've accepted the Lord. I was thinking back to when I was baptized. Now, I had been sprinkled as a baby, but I didn't choose to be, didn't know anything about it. I have my baptismal certificate, which, tells me I was as a baby. But when I became a Christian on my own, it became my own personal faith, when I received him, then I said, well, I want to be baptized as an expression of my faith. Now, maybe the infant baptism expressed the faith of someone, but it wasn't mine. I didn't even know what was going on. And faith comes by hearing, it says, and I hadn't heard the gospel. I didn't understand the gospel then. I was a baby. When I heard the gospel and I understood it, and I accepted the Lord Jesus, then I said, well, now I want to be baptized. He said, believe and be baptized. And I remember the joy it was that afternoon when I went down into the water and this brother baptized me. And I came up just rejoicing, knowing, well, I've accepted him. I've obeyed him in this little thing. I'm proclaiming to everyone, I am a Christian. I've trusted him. And it was a very happy experience in my life. Have you been baptized? Since conversion, I mean. Christian baptism. A proclamation of your own personal faith. This was the kind of baptism that you found in the New Testament. And the scripture is very plain on that. You can go through the whole New Testament and you see they believed and were baptized. And this was the pattern that you find constantly. Now the next verse, after verse 4, says this. There's one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. There's truth about God the Father that we believe. One God and Father. What is the truth about God we should believe? Well, he's the Father of all in the sense that he's the creator of all. There's a fatherhood of God that applies to all because of creation. And we recognize this. There is such a truth. Now, it's twisted by some into just meaning that everyone then is saved. They speak of the fatherhood of man, fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. As if now everyone is in the same position, all are children of God in the same way. But there is a fatherhood of God as far as creation is concerned, and we believe this. In Acts 17, he says, Paul is preaching in Athens, he says, in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own quotes have said, we are also his offspring. And then Paul says, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and device of man. And he acknowledges the fact, yes, there is a sense in which we're the offspring of God, we're made in the image of God, and by creation, every man is a child of God in that sense. Even though sin has come in and he's distorted, the image of God is distorted, still there is a fatherhood of God that applies to all by reason of creation. But because of sin, we're far from God, so much so that Jesus could say of some, you're of your father, the devil. God isn't your father. Now, you've chosen another father. You're becoming like another father. You've chosen Satan to be your leader, to be your God, and you're becoming like him. And you're doing what he does. So that there was this realization that there has to come then a spiritual relationship with God in order to really call him your father in this sense. And he says this, doesn't he, in John 1, that when he says, as many as received him, as received Jesus, to those he gave the right to become the children, the sons of God. And through faith now, we come into the place where we can really term God our father, not only by creation, but by faith. And we can pray, as Jesus said, told his disciples, you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. Our Father, how wonderful. We can say that of God, the creator of all. He's our Father by creation, but most of all, when we accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, he becomes our Father indeed.